What a joy it is to be here for myself and Victoria. It's just so good. We had such a good time yesterday. I love this church. I love this church. Well, of course, yeah. The only reason I wouldn't live here is the hills. I don't like running up hills. I like Manchester because it's flat. It's a small thing. Let's have a look at the word today, shall we? Shall we delve into the scripture? Shall we go to John 15, 1 to 13, and then we'll use verses 16 and 17. So it's John 15, 1 to 13, and then 16 and 17, the verses. Okay, let me read this to you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jump to 16, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love one another. Love each other. What an amazing verses those are, aren't they? Aren't they amazing? So full of depth. And put your hands up if you're into gardening. Yes, quite a few. I thought that might be the case. I am, but I'm not that good. Vic would say I am. No, but I'm not that good. So I had a plan, okay? I had a plan. We live on a terrace street. I had a plan that my plan was to have a beautiful manicured hedge between our house and the house that joins us to the left. So I pictured it in my mind what this hedge would look like. That was my plan. My action was to go to a particular place in Denton near us that sells plants quite cheaply. And I bought four small Buxus box plants. Okay, and I planted them nicely along the fence line. So that was my plan, that was my action, and then there was a time. So I then watered them well, they started to grow, I fed them a little, I found out what they needed, they had the right light. But then came a problem. The plants, 8 months later, were starting to lose leaves. And I noticed a webbing on the branches. Now, I know some of you will be saying, I know exactly what that is. But I didn't know what it was, okay? So I was thinking, okay, so it's probably some sort of blight or something like that. So I was looking on Google and I was checking things like that. And I couldn't quite work it out. But the three plants were all the same. All the other plants around them were fine. But those three looked terrible. And eventually I found out it was something called the box caterpillar, okay? You're all saying, yeah, I knew that. I didn't know that. And so I looked closer, and there were caterpillars all over these plants, eating it bit by bit. Now, I could have gone and bought some chemicals, but the cheaper option is to take them off by hand. So I started to take these caterpillars off, and threw them in the park because there's no hedges in the park, okay? Because these things only eat Buxus hedges, which is a remarkable thing, isn't it? So, but as I started to remove them and all the webbing, I saw what damage these little blighters had done. The damage was so severe that I actually thought, is there any point having these anymore? I don't think there's any life left. But what I did know was the life of those plants is in the root. Don't look at the damage on the surface. Remember that the true life is in the root. So what I thought to do, without consulting anybody, was to massacre these plants, okay? So I prune them severely, okay? So I took them down way below the webbed area where they've been eaten to any sign of tiny bit of life. I hacked it right back. But by the time I'd finished, it looked like a genuine massacre. It looked like, boy, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. But I thought, okay, I'll wait. I won't just give up. I'll wait and see in a few months' time if there's any signs of life. This is a recent thing, by the way. This is hot off the press. Okay? So I had my action. I had my plan. I had my action. I left it for time. I found a problem. But then came the outcome. This is good news, guys. Incredibly enough, green buds and leaves are now covering these plants. I got rid of the caterpillars and the dead branches, and it's now making, you'll be pleased to hear, a full recovery, and it's filling the space that I thought it would. It's going to take time, but this has caused me to care for it more. So what I want to do now is check on it regularly. Actually look out the window and look at it. Go out there physically and check for pests. It's caused me to want to feed it and care for it more. Isn't that interesting? So you say, Andy, this is great, but what's this got to do with anything to do with MCF? Well, let's put it into context, shall we? I'm going to put it in the same way as I did with my beautiful manicured hedge, which isn't quite manicured yet. MCF, God had a plan and has a plan for you guys right here. His plan, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, is to have a vibrant, beautiful, loving, multicultural expression of God's kingdom right here in Jordanthorpe. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
That's his plan. And then his action up to now is that the Father has called and gathered and handpicked. You are handpicked people to begin and grow this exciting church. He's chosen you. Isn't that good news? He's chosen you to have his spirit within you. My goodness, that's good. So that as you grow together, his spirit will be a supernatural fuel within you, each of you, rising like sap from the roots, bringing through his character in your lives, channeled through each of your gifts and your callings. As you grow personally in the Lord, the church grows. So let's have a look at the characters in the story I read from John. The characters in the story are the Father is the vine dresser or the gardener, okay? The Father is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches, and the Spirit is the life that flows through like sap, full of nutrients and life. So that's God's plan for MCF. He's brought it into action. Look at you guys, so beautiful. But what about time? So the Father has grown you. Look at you. He's grown you. He's caused you already to bear some brilliant fruit with the Eden team, with the library. He's also moved some of you on to other pastures, but also he's blessed others and raised others up to come. But his desire is to have an even healthier, fruit-filled body spreading out, filling this place like a manicured hedge here in this community, and that's going to come through your Project 146. This is going to really draw souls. Do you know that? Are you ready for that? He's going to bless the lonely. He's going to bless the poor and the lost. So how will he do this? How will he bring this increase? See, he wants to use you. Sometimes we look at the leaders and say, well, it's your job, but actually it's all of our jobs using our particular gifts and callings. And he wants to use you in a particular way. Have you considered that? So we've seen God's plan. We've seen his action, and there is time. So what is the problem? For us, the problem as humans, which I'm sure you see in yourself and maybe in your family, is some of us like pioneering change, pushing out, taking risks. Other of us like the safety of a smaller group of friends. I'm a bit like that, where it's safe and we like tight boundaries. Some of us are like nest builders. Other of us are like gatherers. And you're all in this church, a real mix. And the Father is the one who knows exactly how to grow healthily this church right here in this soil. But from our side, there will always be a clash of interests, feelings of insecurity, annoyance with each other. And this is why, in this amazing story that Jesus brought, he says three times in three different ways, he says, love one another. Can we say that together? Love one another. This is the glue that holds everything together. This is the hedge that is perfectly manicured when we love one another. See, it was a major risk for me to hack away at my box plants. It didn't look like love. If someone was seeing me, they'd have thought, wow, that guy does not like that plant. But it had to be done. It looked like vandalism, yet my desire was to have branches full of shiny green leaves doing what I had envisioned years before. It had to be pruned. It was the only way to bring healthy growth. But the enemy does not want this plant here, MCF, to grow. And so what does he do? He sends caterpillars to eat away at the life and the love and the unity. And you might be thinking, well, is he calling me a caterpillar? No, I'm not. I'm saying it's not divisive people. It's actually mindsets in all of us, mindsets that will bring things that easily creep in, okay? I've seen it myself sometimes. Unforgiveness, feelings of jealousy, unresolved hurt, an unchecked tongue, which is so easy to let loose, isn't it? These are all like pupae, which, if allowed to hatch, will bring caterpillars chewing at the plant, bringing a slow destruction. The Father needs to be allowed to remove the caterpillars, trim back the damage. So I want you to ask you today, how is your heart today? Are you holding unforgiveness, maybe against another brother or sister? Just spend a moment, just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, where am I today? Bring something to mind. How can we stop the rot in us today? The answer is love. And firstly, this is the key, not necessarily love for one another, but love for Jesus. He's the key, because he's the vine. Remember the Pharisees. They had, people would have said maybe in their time and day, yes, these guys are connected to the vine, but they had a dead connection. They look connected, but they had no love. How do we know? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? No matter what Jesus said to them, they got angry. They got angry with themselves because it was seen as taking power away from them. They had a formal relationship with God. But what God wants is a vital love relationship. Life, not law. So MCF is a plant with lots of branches. See yourself each as a branch. As one branch, are you personally known for delivering God's life to others or God's law? On a plant, there are many branches. But it is only as we grow together in unity that they make up a healthy, thriving plant. So what would you do? I'm sure you've got a garden, maybe you have. What would you do with a plant that looks really healthy, but it's got one or two dead branches? Well, you'd trim it back, wouldn't you? so that all the other things can come into health together. You'd bring new growth. So let's not see this change, there's so much change going on in this church, which is so exciting. Let's not see this as a fearful thing, but a very good thing, good news. So we've seen the plan, we've seen the action, we've seen time taking its place. We've seen that there can be problems because we're humans, but there is coming an outcome, which is very exciting. And I'm jealous for you guys. We've seen that God's vision is a healthy, growing, flourishing, attractive church right here in Jordanthorpe where it's needed. It's obvious. But the greatest challenge is for us to love one another, to bear with one another in the change. And this is what the enemy will contest. And this is where it's challenging. See, as the Father trims and prunes us, we feel the shears of his trimming. Have you ever felt his shears as he trims back your life? Yeah? No plant wants to be pruned. In my backyard, in our backyard, I don't bother pruning or clipping it back, and it becomes, the word is leggy apparently, and it becomes ugly. It's left to its own devices. It's independent. How's your heart today with others? One of the greatest, easiest ways we can love others is to remain in his love. So left to us, left to me, I would only have my close friends around me who agree with me, who are easy to be with. And I know who those friends are. But God wants us to bear with each other. So the acid test right now for us is our test of our love for him. How are we with Jesus? How is our walk with him right now? Now, when I met Victoria many, many years ago, I fell in love with her. And sweet. And I absolutely carved out time to spend with her. I wanted to buy her things. I didn't treat her to things because I had to, or to appease her. I did it actually because I loved her. I wanted to. And when we went, we were walking past a shop once, I'll never forget, and she said, "Look at those boots in that shop. They were stunning, leather, long." And I didn't look at the boots, I looked at the price tag. And I thought, that's a bit out of my league. But I thought, gosh, this woman means so much to me. And she is so worth it. So I don't feel the pain of buying these. I will. But God was so good. I'll tell you why he was so good. Because we went into that shop and they didn't have her size. It was a win-win situation because I was fully open to buying them.
Why don't you buy?
Yeah, we could. So I wanted to buy her these things because I loved her. I wanted to see her smile. I didn't want to do it to say, I want to get in her good books. I wanted to see her joy. And it was great to see. I wasn't getting brownie points. It was because I loved her joy. And this, as I'm sure you know, is exactly what God wants to have a relationship with him like. Not so that he's not asking us, do this. Do this because I tell you to do it. He's saying, have you seen what I've done for you? Does it make you love me? Concentrate on the cross and you will fall so in love with me, you will want to do what I command you. Isn't that wonderful? It's a total flip side where the Pharisees got it wrong. So how are you? And I've struggled with this. How are you with prayer and the word? Spending time with God. Do you do it to appease God or because you should do? Or do you do it simply to persevere to know him better because you love him? See, a relationship with God that says, I must, is like a dead branch. The other, which says, I'd love to, is a vital living connection. See, if we are well connected with the vine, the life cannot help but flow through us to others. And this is where MCF will thrive. But this truly depends on us. Us. Not your leaders, but you. Where is your life with Christ today? Are you growing in this? Do you thirst for this? I do. If so, MCF will grow, guaranteed, because God promised it. The life, the sap of the Holy Spirit will rise in all of you, and you will bear much fruit. MCF is the sum total of all of you. Not how well the leaders do, how well you do in the Spirit. How much you love God. My manicured hedge is a sum total of lots of healthy branches fed by a healthy root. So are you feeling pruned today? I know that feeling. It's not good. It's not nice. But maybe you feel some things have been taken away from you. How about you look to the Father, the ultimate gardener? How about seeing this scenario differently? From his perspective, not from what you think is going on. I read these words, nothing taken away was a gain to lose. Nothing is a loss to keep in God. Are you suffering today? Do you feel like something's been taken from you that you were holding and thinking, this is my future and it's gone? I remember when I was 16, and I used to run for an athletics club called Sale Harriers in the Northwest. And I used to love it. And we used to go back down by the sea to train on sand dunes. It was the most horrific training you could ever imagine. We used to do laps of these sand dunes. And on the uphill, you would be running up sand dunes. And if you can imagine, as you put your weight on the sand dune, your foot would go backwards. So it would burn your calf muscles. And I sometimes would think at 16, why am I doing this? And then I would think, because I want to win. That's why I'm doing this. But there's always pain if you want to make progress. And isn't it the same with God? I want it to be fast. A toddler has to be disciplined into good behavior. Gold has to be refined in the heat. Diamonds have to be formed under intense pressure. The disciples of Jesus have to be pruned. Healthy growth doesn't just happen. Stunning plants have to be pruned. But what I've done in the past is I've withdrawn, I've shirked back from the shears and said, this is too difficult, Lord, I'll just take a back seat. But if we want this church to thrive like some incredible plant, we need to just sacrifice ourselves to him. Do you want to do that today? I want to do that. In my particular place in Manchester. Jesus was the perfect example of this. He set his face for Jerusalem. And it says in Hebrews 12 verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. It was as if the Father was pruning the Son. In Hebrews 2, verse 10, it says, Jesus was made perfect through suffering. It's an interesting verse, isn't it? This is not saying that Jesus was flawed and then he became flawless, but rather it was about his suffering qualifying him for his priestly role and fulfilling God's plan for salvation. Jesus on the cross was pruned so that we surely need to be as well. As we come into land, I'm just going to read Philippians 2, verses 7 to 8 to you. Can we close our eyes? Let me read this over you. Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Listen, that is our Lord, the one who came from the Father's presence to save us. He descended into this earth to save us, to rescue us. He was pruned, he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. what a God we serve. What a God who has rescued us. I just wonder today, can we right now in our hearts, can we respond to him? Can we respond to the shears that maybe are in our lives right now? You know what you're going through. You know what's ahead. Can you say, Lord, I'm here. Lord, you know what has happened in my life. You know my heart. Lord, forgive me. Forgive my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against us. Can we do that together? Father God, we just spend a moment. Maybe the band will just come up and just play one song before we close. But can we just stay in a spirit of connection with the Holy Spirit right now? Just whisper to him. Father, we want to be used by you. We want to grow a healthy plant in this place that blesses so many. Use me. Can we say that together? Use me for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need prayer, come see myself. I'm sure Nick and you know the guys to see, but I'd love to pray for you. But let's worship. And let's praise God.